This is an absolute truth. An absolute truth. You must have a purity of the gospel before you can have a unity of the faith. And it is the purity of the gospel that will identify the men that God has sent. Because they themselves will proclaim the gospel is above them. That they're in submission to it. That it is first. Because Christ is first. It will be their adherence to the truth of the revelation of Christ in Scripture that will identify them as the men that God has sent. Because they show that they are under authority. Now, isn't this exactly the way Jesus, when he walked as a man, did it? He showed that his dependence was upon the Father. That he didn't work on his own. He said, "My teaching is not my own, but his who sent me." Jesus elevated the word of his Father over himself as one that was under submission to it. Is this true or not true? Jesus elevated the message of the Father over himself and put himself in submission to his Father's word. Amen? Jesus was in submission to his Father's word. He didn't act alone. My teaching is not my own. Now, we've got to discuss this. Because this is not the way the preachers of today are identifying themselves. See, they're telling you, well, this is my opinion. And I think this, or I learned this in seminary or Bible school, or this commentary says this, or this man says this, or generally the scholars believe this. They're not speaking with any absolutivity, are they? Should they? Should they be speaking in absolutes? See, it's not a question. This has become a twisted thing. It's not a question of exalting yourself to say you're sent from God. It's a necessary thing to acknowledge that you are not sending yourself. You see, every minister that does not openly acknowledge that he was sent from God, how can he preach unless he's sent, right? Then he's coming in his own name. Let me say that again. Let's make no mistakes. Every preacher who doesn't acknowledge that he is sent from God is one who comes in his own name. How many of you can see that? Roy, I'd ask you to put that verse up there from Peter about the oracles of God. Can you put that up there for me? A preacher, a minister of God, must speak as an oracle of God. Or he's not sent from God. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. And that's the Spirit, isn't it? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom praise and dominion be forever and ever. See, it's so that God will be glorified. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Otherwise, he should shut up. Now, this is a clear point of discernment in what God has ordained. It is a clear point of discernment. That first point we seen earlier today, what marks a man of God is the message he's preaching. Right? If he's preaching the right message, he's of God. The second thing is, he must speak by revelation of Christ and not of his own. He must speak by the Spirit. He must speak absolutely and clearly, not propounding his own intellect, but stating the things that God has given him to say by the Spirit through the Scripture. In other words, if I come up here and give you my opinion or my speculation, I am of no use to you. But I am of great value if I will humble myself and acknowledge my teaching is not my own, but His who sent me. And I am sent to you here today. This isn't something that I say in order to lift myself up. This is something I say in order to humble myself. To show that I did not send myself. To show that my teaching is not my own. And a true minister of God will speak in this way. And he will speak in absolutes. Because he knows what God told him. Now, the dependence. Remember what Paul said? Paul's dependence was upon revelation of Christ. Now, do you think that Paul wanted you to learn any other way? Do you think that? Or does he want you to learn by revelation of Christ? See, hearing the man speaking is one thing. Hearing the Holy Spirit speak through the man is the main thing. And that's what you got to hear. See, when it tells us in 1 John 2:27, when it tells us, you need not that any man teach you, because the Spirit, the anointing that teaches you is the truth, and is no lie. That's absolute. But that doesn't mean that God didn't send us preachers and teachers and apostles and prophets, did it? It means that when these men speak as men sent from God, it is the Spirit speaking through them that you hear. That's what it means. You're not learning from the man, you're learning from the Spirit that's working with the man as a vessel. Can y'all see the difference between that? And the anointing in you of Christ will recognize the anointing in Him. So either way, whether it's you reading the Scriptures for yourself prayerfully, or whether you're hearing a man teach, it is still the Holy Spirit teaching you. And that's the point. Because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. This is the propriety. And we have left it. We have left it, lock, stock, and barrel. We have left it. It's time to return to this propriety by the Spirit through the Scripture. A dependence upon God and not upon men. Now, so we can identify the leadership that God has put here. Remember, it's the message that will identify them and the fact that they will speak by the Spirit through the Scriptures. Not of themselves. They won't speak in their opinions or their speculations. Can y'all see that? They will speak in absolutes. Now, the second part is to this is that the congregations of people have forgotten one clear thing. It's not a great boast to say you're son of God. Because we as Christians all make the great boast that the Holy Spirit lives in us. That the Spirit of the living God dwells in us, don't we? Isn't that our boast? Isn't that what it means in essence to be a Christian? Isn't that what it means in essence to be a Christian? The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He is the Spirit of truth who Jesus said in John would lead us and guide us into all truth. The Spirit of truth. Right? So is it any bolder of a claim to say that I'm sent from God than it is for you to say that you have the supernatural God of ages dwelling in you? Which is bolder of a claim? They're the same, aren't they? Which makes us equal. Because we all live, breathe, and have our movement by the Spirit. And that is a propriety that we have left. We have not acknowledged God as first. And this is why there's confusion and division and dissension. Because we have left that propriety of dependence upon God and making Him first in everything. Of acknowledging that He still does stuff. And acknowledging that the very power by which we live as Christians through faith is His power, not ours. Now let me ask you that sincerely. Is it any bolder of a claim for me to say that I am sent to you from God than it is for you to say that you're a child of God through faith and His Spirit dwells in you? Is it any bolder of a claim? Now let me ask you another question. Has there ever been in all of Scripture a man sent from God to preach to the people, whether it be Israel or the church, whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament, whether he be prophet, apostle, teacher, king, whatever, has there ever been one that spoke out of his own opinions in all of the Scripture? Has there ever been one that did not speak as an oracle of God? Has there ever been one who said, well, maybe God wants this and maybe God wants that? But look around you. Isn't that all you see today? Is men who say maybe and I think and this guy says and scholars say this, and haven't they heralded the propriety of the intellect above a dependence upon the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures? Haven't they left that propriety? We've got to realize where we're at. You need to be able to identify what is of God and who God has sent. Now, isn't being able to do these two things, to identify clearly, to discern what is of God and who God has sent, isn't that going to give you confidence in your commitment to the body of Christ and where you belong? Isn't it? All right, now here comes the big one. Here comes the big one. Can you see? And I can point out lots of scriptures here. Can you see where whenever God started a move, whenever God had started a move, whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament, did He always start with a bunch of people or did He start with one? I want to bring some things to your attention. Adam. He started all mankind with one. And this all points to Jesus is the point. It all points to Jesus. The reason He starts with one and it grows from there is to show that it is of God, the one. You see, there is a difference between the consensus of flesh, the many, and the consensus of the one. We as Christians are a people who are in submission to the one. So we walk by not the consensus of what the majority thinks, but by the consensus of the one. Isn't that how we're called to walk? And this is why God always started it with one. Whether we're talking Elijah or Moses or Gideon, it doesn't matter. Whether we're talking about Paul going to the Gentiles, whether we're talking about Jesus Himself, it always starts with one. And it grows from there and multiplies. How many of you can see that? It always has in the Scripture. And this propriety has not changed. This is the pattern of God. In the coming days, I want you to notice, all right, prayerfully, where the truth is coming from. Because God is about to point you in the right direction. the third thing of discernment. I want you to notice that what starts out small and is rejected by so many, which is another mark of discernment, right? I want you to pay attention prayerfully to the things that are coming. Because you are going to be held accountable, and you are going to be expected to stand in faith, and you are going to be expected to be able to discern what is coming and to recognize it when it comes. Do y'all believe that's true or not true? We are on the precipice of a humongous change because we are about to see the reality of the true church of God, of a living God through His Savior Jesus Christ. We are seeing the foundations laid again and the purity of the gospel coming forth to put all things in order. And you can see how all things will be put aright through the purity of the gospel. How many of you can see that? The change is here. It's coming. It's coming. Be prepared prayerfully. Watch. Have your eyes open. Like John's disciples, as they gathered around him as he baptized, they had to be prepared, didn't they? When he said, "There he is. There he is, the Lamb of God. That's him." The Word of God through the Spirit, even now in me, is pointing you. It's coming. Be prepared. The way is being set up for the revealing of God's children. And this is where it starts. A purity of the gospel message, which is going to lead us to a unity of the faith. Now, I want to read one more thing in Ephesians 4. To cap all of this off, okay? And I'm going to make some points I've made before, but not necessarily in this context. Praise God. Alright, Ephesians chapter 4. What does it mean he ascended? Except also that he descended to the lowest earthly regions. Verse 10 of chapter 4 in Ephesians. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all of the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some. It was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Now, what is the point of him giving the church these gifts? Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. What is the point? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, I'm going to stop there before I read the rest of it. To prepare God's people for works of service that the body of Christ may be built up. You've got to understand this. I've said this before, but you've got to hear it in the context of what we're talking about tonight. God did not call anybody to be a Baptist minister. God did not call anybody to be a Pentecostal minister or an Episcopalian minister or a Methodist minister. He gave ministers for who? The body of Christ. That automatically makes all the ordination papers for every man's denomination there is toilet paper. And you've got to see that. God called ministers for the building up of God's people, right? a unity of the faith. The goal is the unity of the faith. Let me ask you, is there any denomination that has as its goal the unity of the faith? Or building up the body of Christ? Not one. Not one. Listen to this again. I'm going to read it all this time. It was he who gave some to be apostles, to prophets and be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. That's the goal. And in the knowledge, the gospel, of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, these gifts were given to bring the body to that place. These gifts were given to bring the body of that place to that place. And that means the men that God sends who have these gifts are going to have at the very least the true gospel message right. How else could they bring anybody to the knowledge of the Son of God? They're going to have to walk by the Spirit, not by I think so, or their master's degree, or their intellect, or their guessing games, or their speculations, or how smart they are. All of that becomes irrelevant at this point, doesn't it? They are to walk by the Spirit through the Scripture to speak by as an oracle of God, right? So that we, the body, will be no longer infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, false gospels, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming, those who come to make merchandise of you. Instead, speaking the truth, the gospel, in love, we will in all things grow up unto him who is the head. That is Christ. And from him the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament growing and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That takes a unity of the faith that only comes forth through the purity of the gospel message. Now I want to say this one last thing to add to this before I close tonight. We've seen that God is going to start off with one thing, one place. And that the message is going to be the unity of the faith. That it, can y'all see that that is the message to the church now? The unity of the faith and the purity of the gospel is the message to the church right now. You want to know where we are prophetically? You want to know where we are currently? Hear the message. It is the unity of the faith and the purity of the gospel. There is no other message at this time. It's time to humble ourselves and make God first together through the purity of the gospel, that that Spirit may bring us to the unity of the faith. There is no other message for Christians right now. We've got to clear out the confusion. We've got to have a good, honest, decent start at the foundational level. Now, let me tell you what comes next. I want you to remember in Luke 6 where Jesus appointed his apostles out of that group of disciples that followed him. Now listen to this closely. When Jesus appointed those apostles, he didn't just say, hey you, Thomas, Bartholomew, Thaddeus, he didn't say that. I'll take you like selecting a baseball team. He didn't just choose up sides. He went to the mountain, it says, and he prayed all night. Read it in Luke 6. He went to the mountain. Jesus himself went to the mountain, and he prayed all night. And when he come down, he named his apostles out of that group of disciples that followed him. You see, he went up and he consulted with God first, didn't he? Well, God has told me that when we as a body Doesn't how much, how small we are. When we begin to go to that mountain together and seek His face, He will appoint His leadership. And then you'll see the apostles and the prophets and the teachers. And there'll be no doubt as to what God has ordained. And there'll be no doubt as to what doctrine is. There will be clarity and unity like never before. Because God will testify to what He has established through His Son Jesus. What I tell you is one sent from God. By the Spirit, through the Scriptures. This isn't just kind of what it will be. This is exactly what will be. And this is a starting place like no other. Praise God. It's a good place to stop. Please, questions or comments?